Title: Organizing Field Recordings for Atmospheric Tunes Intermediate. All right, let's level up your drum and bass workflow in a way that pays you back every single session. Field recordings are absolute gold for atmospheric DNB. Rain on a window, train station air, hallway hum, distant voices, a metal gate slam, that weird electrical buzz from a streetlight. They instantly give your tune a place and a story. But here's the problem. If your field recording folder is chaos, you won't use any of it. You'll scroll for 5 minutes, lose the vibe, and go back to the same two noise loops you always use. So today we're not just making ambience, we are building a repeatable system in Ableton Live that turns raw recordings into ready-to-drop Atmos layers fast. By the end, you'll have three things. First, a clean folder and naming system that makes sense specifically for DNB. Second, an Ableton Atmos prep project template with dedicated tracks, returns, and a quick Atmos rack. Third, a 60 to 90 second intro or breakdown bed built from your own recordings, ready to drop into a roller. Let's start with the library, because the library is the foundation. Step 1. Create a field recording library that makes sense for DNB. The big mindset shift is this. You want to organize by use case, not by location. Location is interesting, but it doesn't help you write fast. So on your drive, create one master folder called Field Recordings. Inside it, use a simple staged structure. Folder 1 is raw. That's untouched recordings. These are your originals, your negatives, your do not mess with files. Folder 2 is cleaned, and inside that you break it into beds, textures, one shots, fully, maybe tonal or drones if you like separating those. Folder 3 is resampled. This is where the magic happens for speed. Atmos loops at 170-ish BPM, printed hits, risers, downlifters, anything that's already musically shaped and ready to drag into a new set. And folder 4 can be PAX shareable, which is basically stuff I'd be happy to send to a collaborator without embarrassment. Now, categories. Think like a DNB producer. Beds are continuous backgrounds. Rain, room tone. Wind, traffic. Textures are moving details. Chatter, birds, machines. Water trickle, mechanical rhythms that aren't quite drums. One-shots and foley are your little story moments. Metal clicks, doors, gates, footsteps, coin drops, key jangles. Tonal or drones are hums and sustained notes. Tube rumble, transformer buzz, CCTV whine. Transitions are anything that helps arrangement. Reverses, filtered sweeps, ramps, tails. Now naming. This is where you stop creating random 0047.wav and start building a searchable library. Use a naming convention like source, double underscore, action, double underscore, mood, and optionally BPM and key, plus the date. So you might have something like tuba station double underscore crowdwash double underscore tense double underscore 170 double underscore date. Why include BPM sometimes? Because once you warp something into an 8 or 16 bar loop, you're basically creating a musical asset. Your future self will love you when you can search 170 and instantly pull loops that already sit at roller tempo. Quick coach note, add a 3-stage ready status to file names. End your files with RAW, prep, or ready. RAW is untouched. Prep is cleaned and trimmed and leveled. Ready means it's looped or cut as a one-shot, has fades, and it's consistent enough to drop into a track without babysitting it. That one habit alone turns your library into something you can actually use under pressure. And here's a huge speed hack. Make your library auditionable in 5 seconds. Long recordings are annoying to browse, so create short 10 to 20 second preview renders for your long takes. Put them right next to the full file, with preview in the name. When you're writing, you browse previews. When you commit, you grab the full take and do the deeper edit. Also consider prefixes that visually separate things at a glance, like BD for beds, TX for textures, OS for one-shots, DR for drones, TR for transitions. Whether you use color labels or prefixes, the goal is instant recognition. Cool! Now you have a library structure that doesn't fight you. Step 2. Bring recordings into Ableton the right way, so you don't lose them. This is a classic pain point. Dragging audio from random downloads folders into a project and later discovering Ableton can't find the files. Instead, add your field recordings master folder into Ableton's browser under Places. That makes it a stable, always available library. Then only the absolute best, most reusable stuff goes into user library. Curate that. Don't dump everything in there. User library is like your personal greatest hits. And a pro navigation move, anytime you're confused where a file lives, right-click it and choose Show in Explorer or Show in Finder. That keeps you grounded in the real folder structure, not just Ableton's view of the world. One more thing. Collect all and save. Use it only for project-specific renders or when you're collaborating and need to make sure the project opens anywhere. Do not accidentally collect your entire raw library into every project, because that's how you end up with 30 GB idea folders. Step 3. Clean and prep recordings into DNB usable assets. Now we build a dedicated prep set. Make an Ableton project or set called Field Recording Prep. Inside it, create 4 audio tracks. ATM Raw, that's your intake. ATM Clean, that's where the processing chain lies. ATM Looped, for warping and looping. ATM Print, for resampling your finished Atmos stems. On the ATM Clean track, drop a basic clean chain using stock devices. First, EQ8, high pass it. Most field recordings have unnecessary rumble that will destroy the clarity of your kick and sub. Start around 70 to 120 Hz, 24 dB per octave. Adjust by ear based on the material. If you hear mains hum, notch 50 or 60 Hz depending on your region, and sometimes a harmonic or two above it. Don't go surgical unless you need to, but do remove obvious ugliness. Next, a gate, but subtle. The goal is not to chop ambience. It's to stop pure silence sections from adding noise when you crank reverb later. Set the threshold so it closes only when there's truly nothing happening, and keep the release natural so tails aren't getting dilatined. Then utility for gain staging. Aim for healthy headroom. In atmospheric work, you don't need things slammed. Get your average somewhere like minus 18 to minus 12 dB. It leaves room for your drums, and it keeps processing behaving nicely. Optional, saturator. 1 to 4 dB of drive can bring out detail and make urban textures feel closer. Soft clip-on can be a nice safety net, but don't turn your ambience into a distorted mess. The mantra is, atmosphere supports the drums. It doesn't fight them. Now, chop best moments into clips. In arrangement view, scan for cleanish sections, 10 to 30 seconds where the texture is stable and usable. Consolidate, rename the clip with something meaningful, and then export or drag it into your cleaned folders. Teacher tip. Don't obsess over perfection. You're building a palette. You can always do a hero edit later. Right now, you want usable building blocks. Step 4. Warp and DNB Li-Fi beds and textures at 170 to 176 BPM. Set your project tempo to something like 174 BPM. That's a sweet spot for rollers, and it keeps things consistent. Warp mode matters a lot here. For full ambiences like crowds and rain, Complex or Complex Pro usually wins. Complex Pro lets you smooth things with envelope settings and keep it natural. For noisy beds like wind, hissy room tone, vinylish textures, texture mode is amazing. Adjust grain size and flux to get motion without that nasty watery artifacting. Beats mode is more for rhythmic mechanical stuff, clacks, repeating machinery, anything you want to lock to the grid. Your goal, loop cleanly over 8 or 16 bars. Add tiny clip fades to avoid clicks. Then consolidate the loop and save it into your resampled folder, like Atmos Loops 170. This is also where you can start thinking arrangement. A classic DNB intro shape. First 16 bars is mostly bed and filtered texture. Next 16 bars you add hints, distant ghost drums, a bass teaser, a little Foley event. Then you're setting up the impact for the drop. Step 5. Build an Atmos rack for fast layering. Now we make the workflow feel like a weapon. Create an audio effect rack called Atmos Toolkit. Make 3 chains. Chain A is bed, wide and clean. EQ8 with a high pass around 90. If it's boxy, a gentle dip around 300 to 500. Auto filter with a low pass. And we'll map that cutoff to a macro so you can sweep it easily. A subtle chorus or ensemble for widening. Utility for width, but keep it tasteful. 120 to 160% is plenty. If you go too wide, your mono compatibility suffers and your intro can feel hollow in a club. Chain B is grit texture, mid-focused and characterful. EQ8 band pass roughly 200 Hz to 6K. Saturator for bite, maybe 3 to 7 dB. Redux lightly for that crunchy edge, especially on industrial recordings. Auto pan slow, like 0.05 to 0.2 Hz. Just to create motion without sounding like a helicopter. Chain C is distant fog. EQ it darker. High pass around 150, low pass around 5 to 8K. Reverb with a longer decay, 3 to 8 seconds. Predelay 10 to 30 milliseconds. And very important, low cut in the reverb so you're not washing low mids into mud. Then utility to drop the gain so it sits behind everything. Now macros. Keep it practical. Macro for filter open. Macro for reverb amount. Macro for grit. Mapping saturator drive and redux amount together. Macro for width. Macro for motion. This is the point where every field recording becomes auditionable instantly. Drag a sound in. Turn one or two knobs, and you know where it sits in the scene. Step 6. Set up return tracks for Control D and B space. Create 3 returns. Return A is short room for glue, short decay, small predele, low cut around 250, high cut around 9K. This is the make it feel in a space send. Return B is long dark verb for cinematic depth, decay 4 to 10 seconds, predele 20 to 40, low cut 300 to 500, high cut 6 to 8K. Put an EQ after the reverb if you need to notch harshness. Return C is dub delay using echo. Set time to a quarter note or dotted eighth. Feedback around 25 to 45% and filter the delay so it's not throwing low end everywhere. This one can build fast, so keep its level disciplined. DNB rule that's worth repeating. Keep the low end clean. Your Atmos returns should almost never carry sub. High pass them if you have to. Your kick and bass will thank you. Step 7. Convert one shots into playable Atmos percussion. Grab tiny metal clicks, door taps, stick snaps. Load them into simpler in one-shot mode. Low-pass them a bit to push them back in the scene, and add slight randomness with velocity variation so it doesn't feel like a machine gun. Then place them between break hits, super quiet, and send them to the long dark verb for ghost tales. Arrangement trick. One or two unique Foley hits per 8 bars is often enough. That's the sweet spot, where it stays alive without turning into a cluttered sound effects demo. Step 8. Resample Atmos into mix-ready stems. This is where you become fast. When you've built a bed you like, record it as audio. On ATM print, set input to resampling. Record 16 to 32 bars of your Atmos layer including the FX, as long as it still feels controlled. Consolidate it, export it, and name it like source plus VI plus BPM plus bar length. Now you have a drag and drop Atmos stem for future sessions. This is how you build momentum across projects instead of reinventing the wheel every time. Extra coach notes to make this feel pro. Normalize your workflow, not your audio. Instead of normalizing files, standardize monitoring while browsing. Put a utility on the master in your template, temporarily at minus 6 dB when auditioning lots of textures. This audio version is shortened for playback.